Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, The Covenant People of God. The Covenant People of God. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And I have the Word of God on the screen if you didn't have your Word. And we're going to expound this verses of Scripture. But before I get into the message, I'm here to let us know that the world has its own agenda. How many believe that? The culture of this day is an enemy to the cross. And so we all have seen already the chaos in our nation. We see it sliding down a slippery slope. And I truly believe that the nation in whole has somewhat broken a covenant with God. There's only two nations in the history of the world that has made a covenant with God in the early beginnings of a nation being birthed. That was Israel and the United States. And because I truly believe that the nation as a whole has drifted from what the founding fathers had implemented, which was the Word of God. If you read the Constitution, it's all about God's Word. They used it. And Winthrop and George Washington kneeled and cried out to God before the first Union was set in place. And so we all see through Scriptures that when Israel backslid and they turned to idolatry, they turned to many foreign gods, and God would send prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. He would send them to warn them that if you don't turn back to God, that he would have to bring a judgment. And so for those of you that went out to see the harbingers of things to come, Jonathan Cahn hit it right on the money. Because, real quick in a nutshell, when Israel backslid, God sent a prophet and prophets after that. Then God allowed the nation to be struck. Okay? That should have brought the whole nation into repentance, but it didn't. They said, we're going to rebuild, we're going to be stronger, we're going to replace our trees with stronger trees. They went on for another 19 years in sin. So we parallel with Israel. Because and 9/11 hit, okay, that shook us. And guess what? It was the same Assyrian people that struck us in 9/11 that struck Israel in the book of Isaiah. Then guess what? 19 years went by, and then if you read in the book of Isaiah, then God allowed a plague to come 19 years later. Well, guess what? Since 9/11, 19 years have gone by, and a plague hit us, and it was called COVID-19. Not a coincidence. So, when a nation does not repent, God will keep on sending prophets and prophets after prophets, but then he has to shake them again. So America has been shooken again twice, like Israel. But the news of Israel's day, instead of repenting, within 3 years after the plague hit them, God allowed the Babylonians to come and destroy them and took them into captivity. And we're about 3 years into COVID now. So this message is not about the nation. We can't control the nation. But this nation is for God's covenant people. Because we are, listen, we cannot control what the nation will do. But guess what? We can do something about our walk with Christ. Can I get amen? We can do something about us walking in the light and being a difference maker and allowing the darkness to see the light, like Bishop Monopoly said. We are the light of the world. Amen? And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to expound this message this morning. And the Word of God reads, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Verse 12. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. "But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. So after he had said before, 'This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, say the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.'" Turn to your neighbor and says, "God will remember your sins no more." Because as covenant people, we've been washed in the blood. But before God can wash you in the blood, there has to be a heart of repentance. You have to turn from your ways. You have to turn to God and say, "God, I cannot save myself. I need you to save me." And once the heart repents, praise God, then the blood comes and covers us. Now, once the blood comes, now the Holy Spirit can live inside of us. God will not live inside of a human without the blood, hallelujah, on that person. Can I get amen? Because God will not dwell in darkness. God will not dwell in sin. So that soul needs to be washed by the blood. Now the Spirit can come in, hallelujah, and do the mighty works of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's ask this question right up here. What does covenant mean? What does covenant mean? Because God made a covenant with us. He actually made a covenant with the nation. But we all know what breaks the final straw. Now, let me just say this. What was Israel's demise? If you've been reading Isaiah, when the plague came, they had 3 years to repent because they were shaken. They got hit with an ugly plague. But what was the final sin that broke the camel's back? Listen, God deals with all kinds of our sins. God knows we're sinful. But there's one grievous sin that God says, "I'm done now." They were throwing the babies into the fire, Tubal. And 70 million have been aborted now on this land. It correlates. It parallels. This is not a political thing. This is a spiritual connotation. And God looks at it. He looks at it as grievous unto him. Can I get amen? How many of you love your children? How many of you are thankful that your mom didn't push the button on you? Wow. So covenant means it's a basic meaning, it's an agreement in scriptural terms. It is an agreement between God and man, initiated by God. God chooses to reach out to man and offer him an agreement. Simply stated, saints of God, God says, "If you will do this, I will do that." Meaning, if you will repent and come to me, I will save you, and you will be adopted and grafted in by faith. Can I get amen? Saints, throughout the Bible, God's covenant is declared to his people as a reminder that we shall one day rule with him. How many of you can't wait to rule and reign with Christ? He gives us that privilege to rule and reign. Why do you think all the education and the biblical training that God has given Brother Mandapali? Because God's going to have him doing something beyond his expectation when Jesus comes. And so we're going to travel through the Word of God this morning, saints of God, to remind us that whenever life's adversity seem to bring us to a place of despair, we can always be reminded that God's perfect plan is at work in your life. Amen. Can I get amen? So, number one, we need to look at supernatural increase and promotion from the Lord. So we're going to go back in the Word of God and we're going to see what worked for Israel still works for us. Can I get amen? Amen. Because we've been grafted in to the Abrahamic covenant. Praise God, by faith. Amen. Praise God. If it wasn't for them, we would have no salvation. But the lineage came from Abraham all the way down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look at this. Let's look in Genesis. Look at this. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him what? Mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the Lord. How many of you want favor in the sight of the Lord? Well, guess what? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments we can have. And guess what? All the commandments in the Old Testament are hinging on those two only. That's right. Because listen, the Bible's clear. If you break one, you broke them all. So God's grace is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And with that comes his mercy, comes his grace. There's room that when we fail, we can cry out to him. And then God cleanses us and washes us. Can I get an amen? Because God's not looking for a law to keep. He's looking that you would love him with your whole heart. See, I'd rather love my spouse because I love her than for her or I to keep laws. I'm going to do all that I do with her because I love her and she loves me. And guess what? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. So there's grace there. It allows us not to look at the faults. It allows us not to look at shortcomings and mistakes. Our love should cover, hallelujah, one another. Because God has covered us with his grace and his love and his mercy. He knows we come from dust. Thank you, God. Look at this. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. You know his story. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison. And God used that man in prison to bless a nation when the famine came. Praise God. Number two, restoration of all the enemy has stolen. Did you know that the enemy has stolen things from you and I? And right now, he still has things in his bag that he has stolen. And this is why we have to cry out to God. Oh, God, save my son, save my daughter, save my grandchildren, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Release them from the grip of Satan. Hallelujah. Amen. How many believe you that God will restore those things back to you? Amen. So look what happened to Egypt here. Look at this in Exodus. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst. And after that, he will let you go. This is Moses now, after 40 years in the wilderness, learning the things of God. He had to unlearn, because remember, he was a prince of Pharaoh. He had to unlearn the royalty and become a shepherd and had to relearn the things of God. Just like Brother Mandapali said. You know, he was doing all these corporate things. God said, I have a different plan for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to teach you my ways. Thank you, God. And look what he did. Thousands have come to the Crusades now because of obedience. Can I get an amen? Look at this. He goes, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be. And when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. So here's the thing. They were in bondage for 450 years. And when God finally set them free, they took the riches with them. They took gold and precious jewels with them. Said, man, this is mine now. You know, you guys would worship this, but this is mine now. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says that God will take the wealth of the wicked and bless his children. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. And so, look at this. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. You shall plunder the Egyptians. Wow. My goodness. You see, there's going to be a time when God will cause you to prosper. Why? Because just keep on walking in faith. Keep on, like you said, Sister Tammy, keep on, you know what? I'm just going to tithe unto God. And I don't care who does. I'm just taking care of me. And God does the miraculous. Can I get an amen? And listen, it's not just money either. It's tithing of your time. Can I get an amen? People think it's just money. No, it's tithing with your life. I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go intercede. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and watch them to recover.
That's right.
This is what God wants from our life, that we would be yielded vessels into his hand. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now, let's look at this. Number three, honor in the midst of adversaries. You know that God will honor you right in front of your enemies. Oh, that's right. He will honor you in front of your enemies. If you got enemies, he will make them look like a fool. Look what it says in Exodus right here. And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring yet one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. And afterward, he will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive out all out of here to get altogether. Look at this. Speak now, verse 2. Now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver, articles of gold. Look at verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. In other words, all that the Egyptians worshiped, they're taking it right before them. And they couldn't do one thing about it. When they saw their firstborn son drop dead, because God sent that death angel, they kept their mouths shut. They were frightened to the core. Look at this. Moreover, the man, Moses, was very great in the land of Egypt. Look at that. In the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. God elevated him in front of his enemies. My goodness. This is what God wants to do in your life. In the midst of darkness, he wants to let you be a light on a shiny hill. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. God wants to be with you, and he is with you. Man, look at this. Verse 4, then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt. Verse 5, look at this. And all the firstborn of the land shall die. Look at, oh my goodness. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. When God made a decree and when he made his judgment, it was so. Listen, the word of God says, do not fall into the hands of an angry God. Can I get amen? Because you don't know that line to cross where God says, you crossed that line. You should have never crossed that line with me. Well, they crossed the line with God. So he had to bring that judgment so that Israel would be set free and that God's perfect plan, years later, the Messiah would come forth. Can I get an amen? And look what else to happen to them. Increase assets, especially real estate, and all that they were in bondage to, God gave them increase. Can I just say this? How many of you can honestly say, God has blessed my life? Oh, come on, he has. He's blessed your life. Why? Because he loves you. Amen. He doesn't have to. But he chooses because you are his. Look at this in Deuteronomy. Now, this is the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, and of Naphtali, he said, oh, Naphtali, say, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south. Meaning, go get this land. It is now yours. Wow. And that was the land that God called the land of milk and honey. Praise God. Listen, they were in bondage. These people were under the taskmaster's whip for 430 years. They were beaten. They were probably only fed one day. They were in the mud pits with straw and mud, building these giant monumental idols for the Egyptians. And they would every day someone would die in the mud pits. And God, because God's love and his mercy, he gave them this land that they probably did not even want to deserve, but he gave it to them. You know why? Because God is good. Say that with me. God is good. God is good. You know, Bishop Manopali, I don't know how many billions are in India, but 1.5 billion. And out of all them people, he called you. And he has shown great favor upon your life, your family. What? To preach the gospel. Let's look at this one. Number five, greater victories in the midst of greater odds or impossibilities. Listen, there is nothing too hard for God. Can I get amen? Nothing's too hard. Oh, that's right. Nothing is too hard for God. My goodness. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 11. Look at this. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord has commanded Moses. So now Joshua was given the mantle to go and lead the people. But guess what? Whenever God is prospering you, the enemy will rise up as an adversary to you. Can I get amen? Every time God sends blessings to you, look out. This is why you need to have the armor of God on every day. Put on the helmet of salvation. Can I get amen? You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need the shield of faith. You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You need your loins girded up with truth. Can I get amen? You need your feet shod, prepared for the gospel of peace. And go and take the word of God throughout the world. You got to go and prepare. Why? Because as God is blessing you, here comes the enemy right behind you. And he wants to trip you up. He tries to thwart the plan of God in your life. But God said, not so. This is my child. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so look at this in verse 21. And at that time, Joshua came and cut off Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, and from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, and Gath, and Ashdod. Look at verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. Listen, we're in a spiritual battle now. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. There's some people, they wake up in the morning thinking from the night before, man, I can't wait to get to the house of God. You wake up, man, this hurts, that hurts, this hurts, something's wrong. Well, that's the enemy trying to prevent you from coming to the house of God. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And when God wants to speak something into your life, the enemy will try to thwart you. Because he don't want you to hear truth. Can I get amen? He wants you to keep on receiving lullabies and lies from the enemy. But God will have his perfect way, his perfect will. Let's look at number six. Recognition, even when it seems to be the least likely to receive it. That's right. Listen, don't look for recognition. God will elevate you in his time. Can I get an amen? Don't run after titles and this. I am now so-and-so, this and that and that and this. I seen some people go, man, who made you a bishop? I don't remember that. They probably downloaded the certificate from the internet. Be careful. Can I get amen? Nowadays, there's apostle here and apostle there. God said, hey, take heed. Let no one deceive you. Can I get amen? My goodness. Look at this in 1 Samuel. It's caught in 1 Samuel. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. Now look at this. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has favor in my sight. This is a scene where Saul was elected by the people. They didn't want God to rule over them anymore. They wanted to have a king in Israel like the heathen nations. And so, instead of allowing God, okay, let me choose the leader for you, they picked Saul because Saul was 6'4". He was chiseled like a brick. And we want this guy. We want this guy. But in his heart, he was corrupt. Saul was corrupt. And so God allowed tormenting spirits to come and torment Saul. So the only one to calm King Saul down was David playing that flute. This is where the majority of the Psalms came from King David. My goodness, my goodness. Look at verse 23 up here. And so it was, whenever the Spirit, I need you to catch that. Whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play with it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, meaning God sent that tormenting spirit. Did you catch this? This is not the Holy Spirit, because Saul would be so disobedient to God. When God said, I want you to destroy the Amalekites, you know what? God said, kill everything. And what does Saul do? Go, oh man, I want these goats for me. I want this gold for me. And so the prophet came and says, wait a minute. What's that inside your tent? He heard some, bah. They were supposed to be all destroyed. So, Brother Manipali, I'm glad you are so here. Because he just shared, God allowed a pain to come to shake him. God will send tormenting spirits to Saul because he was in disobedience to God. You see, when you want favor from God, walk in his will, walk in his ways, love him with your whole heart and soul and mind. But when you choose to live an disobedient life, guess what? You're on your own. And God will take his hand of blessing off your life and say, go ahead. Go wallow in the mire. I'll be here when you turn around and repent. My goodness. So look at this. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Wasn't the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit brings love, joy, peace. God sent a disturbing, tormenting spirit. Wow. Be careful. Be careful with the things of God. Can I get amen? God is holy. God is holy. Number seven, battles won that we won't have to fight because God fights for us. How many believe that God fights your battles? Amen. Hallelujah. He fights your battles. If you give them to him, say, God, I can't fight this battle. You know, I've tried every which way. But I can't win this battle. God, I need you to fight this battle. And God is waiting for us to give it to him. Why? Dude, do you know that God is a God of war? He's a God of war. Oh, yes, yeah. And when Jesus comes back to set up his millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years on this earth, he is going to make war on all the enemies to the cross. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, his robe will be dipped in blood. Because, you know, Jesus came as the suffering Messiah. You know, in Christmas time, you know, he's in the manger, and, you know, and then, you know, oh, he's grace and he's mercy. Yes, he came to save us. But when he comes again, he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, that's right. Come on. Oh, some of you are not ready for that. Come on. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And guess what? He's allowed us to rule with him. So when you're in a study like this, all God is doing is training you up, preparing you for when he comes. It's not like, well, God, I don't know what to do. No, we're going to know what to do because we're going to know his character. We're going to know his mind because the word of God declares it. Praise God. So look at this. Look what we found in Psalms 44. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but then you planted, you afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, it was your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. Wow. Wow. How many of you want that proclaimed over your life? Praise God. You see, saints, the Old Testament saints had to been truly convinced that the covenant that God made for them was beyond their comprehension. They had no clue how God was going to work out every detail in their life. And as you know the story, you know them. They murmured and complained. They couldn't see God. They couldn't see God at work until God had to do the miraculous. Then they saw. And so, saints, as we continue to study God's word, God has revealed in the New Testament, because we read the Old Testament, now we're going to go into the New Testament, and then we'll close, what God is still doing in the midst of his people. And so look at this. Number one, in the Old Testament, they had to keep bringing animal sacrifices, right? And it was a temporary covering for their sin. Jesus became the final sacrifice. Look at this. Our sins are removed from us forever. How many are so blessed that we didn't have to live during those days in the Old Testament where we had to pull a bull that didn't want to go anywhere to the altar? Just imagine their altar was full of blood just to temporarily cover us. My goodness. Look what Jeremiah wrote for our day. God gave a vision for our day that we live. Today, look at this. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Look at this. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers the day that I took them from the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Look at verse 33. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be what? My people. That's us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 34. No more shall every knee, look at this, every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall, what? They shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Hallelujah. See, this is the confidence that we need to walk in the days that we live in. That the Bible says in the book of Romans, there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God has freed us from the bondage of sin. God has given us His Spirit. He has washed us in the blood. He has blessed our life. And so we are to cling to Him. Hallelujah. Embrace the cross. Say, God, thank you, because I couldn't save myself. You saved me in the midst of darkness. Oh, come on. Some of us, we grew up in National City. Man, we grew up with the worst of them. We ran with them thugs. Oh, that's right. You could call me a thug back then. And out of the midst of darkness, He pulled me out. He pulled you out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, that's right. Come on. Oh, come on. He went through the highways. He went through the byways looking for you and I. Praise God. And He found us. We weren't looking for Him. None of us were looking for Him. Oh, none of us woke up in the morning. Praise God. Oh, man, I'm going to go rob these guys tonight. Bless you, God. Oh, come on, we didn't do that, did we? God was a million miles away from our heart and from our mind. A million miles away. We had nothing to do with God. And then God let us come to our breaking point. I don't know what your breaking point was. I knew what where mine was. He allowed me to be broken before Him. Oh, come on. $500 of crystal meth in my sock? I was like, I love Brother G's slogans. I was toe up from the flow up. Oh, come on. Many of us have those kind of testimonies, huh? That's right. But in God's grace, and it's His mercy, hallelujah, that He drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. He cleansed us. He washed us. He gave us new life. He gave us a new walk. He gave us a new talk. He clothed us with His righteousness. And now we can proclaim Him. We can say, Abba, Father. We can say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we should always be a thankful people. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Jesus' blood, He washed away our sins. The Old Testament saints didn't have that privilege. They had to keep bringing turtle doves and bulls and goats. But hallelujah, Jesus died on that cross once and forevermore. Hallelujah. To save those, hallelujah, who were lost. He came to seek and save. He didn't come for the righteous. The righteous don't need a physician. The righteous are self-righteous. They're religious. He came for us that were down and out, that weren't looking for God. He came to scrape us off the heap of humanity and said, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to glorify my name through you. And you will proclaim me. And people around your life are going to say, I can't believe that. I know that person. Yes, you did know that person. But the Bible says all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can I get amen? Yeah, you knew me back then. But this is me today. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. How do you like that? Hallelujah. Because it was God Almighty all by Himself. There's nothing we could have done to save ourselves. It was God's grace. It was His mercy. Look what He says in the book of Mark. And He said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in the kingdom of God. Man, how many can't wait for the marriage supper of the Lamb? You see, Jesus is going to come and snatch us out of here. You see, that's not the second coming. It's called the rapture of the church, where He doesn't touch the ground. He calls us from the clouds. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. How many want to be in that group? Oh, yes. Praise God. And look at this. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out from the Mount of Olives. Now, look at this. We're coming in for a close. A covenant promise is salvation only through repentance. You know, there's a lot of easy grace-ism out there in this world. There's a lot of churches, oh man, just, oh God, thank you for my salvation. And guess what? They haven't turned from their sin. They haven't repented. The Bible says, turn. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your sin. In other words, turn your back on sin. Sin's behind you. Now you're walking toward God. Say, God, I don't want that life no more. I want you. But people give altar calls. Yeah, yeah, thank you, God, for coming into my life. And they go home, and there's no change. Why isn't there no change? Because God hasn't filled them with the Holy Ghost. Because they're still unregenerated. The only way to be regenerated is God has to wash you in His blood. Remember I shared earlier, before He can come into your life, the blood has to cover you. Then He can walk into your being. Why? Because God will not walk into a vessel that has not been washed in His blood. Because He's holy. So here's the key scripture. It's on my jacuzzi. My brother remembers the jacuzzi days. It's right up here. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift is eternal life. How many want to live forever with God? That's the promise. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Bishop Anapali, all your family saved, aren't they? That was a promise. It started with you. It started with you. And because you were faithful to the things of God, He goes, I'm going to save your family too. How many are so blessed to know that? So listen, I'm going to close with these scriptures so that you have no shadow of a doubt. That how many know that you're secure in Christ? We're secure in Christ. Forget about being an Arminian, a Calvinist. I'm going to go to the Word. Because the Word cannot lie. Can I get amen? The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Let the Word of God speak for itself. Oh yeah, I've been to churches. Man, as soon as you have a sinful thought, you're going to hell. And then there's other organizations say, you can just keep living like the devil. You're saved. That's a lie too. There has to be right in the middle that God is holy, God is righteous, and I'm going to love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. And by loving Him, now I can do the things that He wants me to do. It's not under a whip. It's not under a law, but it's under His grace, under His mercy. So let's go here and close, because we have some lunch prepared for you guys in the fellowship hall. Amen. How many wants some little lunch? Well, hang on for a minute. We're almost there. Look at this. The born-again believer is eternally secured. I hope you know that. I'm talking about the born-again believer. The demons believe in Jesus, but they're not saved. They believe in Him. When Jesus approached the demons, they said, oh, you are the Holy One from God. They knew who He was. But they weren't saved. The born-again believer, that's you and I. We're eternally secure. Look at this. Let's go there. Blessed, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read these verses and close. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has chose us. God has chose us. Can I get amen? Amen? In Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You see, in order to be holy and blameless, the blood of God, the blood of Jesus has to cover us. Because when the Father looks down now, all He sees is the blood. All He sees is the blood. Look at this in verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption by His sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His what? his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. We've been accepted in the beloved. Look at this. In him, we have redemption through his blood. See, it's got to be through the blood. Nothing else. It can't just be words. There has to be a cause and a reaction. So when we repent and we cry out and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us, that's a cause, and then he reacts. Okay, I'm going to cover you now with my blood. Look at this. The forgiveness of sins is through the blood, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Verse 9, look at this. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. It was a mystery. And God now has revealed it to us today, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God purposed in himself to demonstrate good pleasure that we would operate in his will. Look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, that which are in heaven and which are on earth. That's us. We're on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. Look at this. Predestined according to the purpose of his will, who works all things. Say that with me. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. In these last few scriptures, that he, look at this, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory, in him you also have trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What does that all mean? That means us, born again children of God, we are now his possession. And when he comes, he's going to gather us up and make the final redemption. So in other words, how many of you went to an automobile place and you need to buy a car, and they're always looking for, at least, can you at least put $500 down? Can you at least put something down? And most of the time, you'll put a $500 or $1,000 down, right? So they can hold the car. They don't want no one else to come and get that. So you got to put your deposit down. Well, the blood of Jesus has been deposited to us. And when he comes, he's going to redeem us. And he's going to change us. And we're going to be just like him. And we will live with him forever. How many can't wait for that moment? Huh? How many can't wait for that moment? And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I must leave you this. Hallelujah. I need your attention up here on the screen. I went a little too quick. I need to leave you. That's okay, brother. Go ahead and play something soft. I need to leave this with you, because this is God's faithfulness and his promises. How many believe he's faithful? And how many believe his promises? Okay. We will live with God forever. I'm believing that. Listen, we've lived this life long enough to know that this life will soon terminate. This life will soon terminate. And we will go back to the dust. This bodies of flesh do not live forever. Can I get amen? Think again. This is why Jesus needs to redeem us back. And he's made a deposit in us with his blood that he's going to redeem us back and give us a brand new body. And this is the promise he has left for us. It's in Revelation. Look at this. This is John, the apostle on the island of Patmos. He wrote Revelation. He said, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. So right now, you better enjoy your sushi right now, because there's not going to be no more sea when he renovates the earth. Look at this. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is for us. God has made a brand new city for us. Look at this. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. How many of you woke up this morning with pain in your body? How many of you are still crying about loved ones, man? Oh, God, save them. Don't let them die in their sin. Every day. Look at this. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words that are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning from the end. I will give them the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. How many of you thirst for Jesus? How many of you thirst for God? Be thirsty every morning when you wake up, not just for a glass of regular water, but be thirsty for God. Now, God always leaves a little warning. We must take heed. These are the last scriptures in this writing. It says this, verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. That's us. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But look what he says in the following verse. There's a lot of churches that won't read this to you. I don't want to offend nobody. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral. These are fornicators, people living with each other, not even married. Sorcerers. These are drug addicts. Sorcerer in Greece means pharmakia, meaning pharmacy. Drug users, drug dealers, idolaters. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wow. You see, you got to read the rest of the story. And that is to always keep us as the children of God in check. Can I get an amen? Oh God, keep my heart in check. Oh God, keep me in your perfect will. Oh God, help me, God, be an overcomer. Oh God, help me, Lord, not fall in this path, because I want to be with you. How many of you believe that you will be with Jesus? Come on, that's got to be you and I. Can I get an amen? That has to be driven in our heart, that he is forever mine and I am his, and nothing's able to separate us from the love of God. No famine, no pain, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us, God. Help us be the covenant people that you have called us to be for such a time as this. Father, I pray, Lord, for the saints that are here, those who are watching on YouTube and Facebook, that if they've never given their heart to you, God, I pray, Lord, that this will be their moment to cry out in faith, that they would give you their heart, and that you would do the miraculous in their life. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that if you've never given your heart to Jesus, this is your opportunity now to surrender to God and to ask God to do the miraculous in your life. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Praise. Is he worthy? Man, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.